Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett. We're really so glad that you're joining us today. And you're probably driving down a highway today. And I spend a lot of time on Interstate 64. And it is an amazing thing to go up and down the traffic. But I want to begin our broadcast and just praying for our nation. And I noticed the traffic's been a little bit heavier over the last few days. And I think it's because of what is happening in the Middle East. And so I just really want us to pray for our nation, pray for those who are protecting our nation over in the Middle East. And so, Father, we come before you today. And your word tells us that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to all people. And so we come before you today, and we pray that we will have a heart that is in sync with your heart, that we will follow you every step of the way. I pray for our president to have wisdom. I pray for his cabinet. And I want to pray for protection for all the men and women who are in the Middle East right now fighting for our freedom. And I know that it is a hot spot over there in the Middle East. And we don't understand everything that's happening over there, but we know that God's people are the nation of Israel, are the apple of your eye. And your word tells us that as we bless the nation of Israel, that we will be blessed. And so we pray for all that is happening over there. I pray that you'll just guide our country during these times of turbulence. And we just pray for protection, especially for our troops who are over there. And we pray believing that we're going to be able to have some good reports coming back of what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been going through a series called Christian Smoothies. It's a series that deals with the fruit of the Spirit. And the Bible has a whole lot to say about this. This is found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And we're actually on part number 8, and we're going to be talking about gentleness today. In Matthew 5:5, it says that God blesses those who are gentle and lowly, for the whole earth will belong to them. Now, Jesus gives this in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And when you think about that word gentleness, a humble heart and being kind to others is a sign of gentleness. It is yielding to somebody else. It's not yielding to sin, but it's yielding to the preferences of somebody else, especially somebody that you love. And the word love, L-O-V-E, somebody came up with the acrostics for what love is. And for the letter L, we could say that love listens well. Are you a good listener? The Bible tells us in James 1:19 that every man should be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to become angry. So love listens well. When you really love somebody, you slow down. You slow down your speech, and you open up your ears, and you listen well. For the letter O in the word love, love overlooks offenses. You know, if you have anybody that's close to you, and I know that we all have a bunch of people that are close to us, it is so easy to poke them. It is so easy to look at all of the faults they have. But the Bible tells us that love covers over a multitude of sins. When you really love somebody, you're not going to try to exploit their weaknesses. You can help them navigate through their weaknesses. You're going to overlook some things because you know everybody has weaknesses. For the letter V in the word love, we have the word value. Love values others. In other words, we think that other people are more important than we are. And the problem with most of us is we think just the opposite. We don't think we're perfect. I don't think anybody thinks they're perfect, but we think that we're a notch above somebody else. And so I want to encourage you, when you love somebody, you're going to be gentle with them and you're going to tremendously value them. And then the letter E in the word love, we could say that love expresses affection and encouragement. Are you encouraging other people today? Are you expressing that affection to them? And I want to encourage you today. There are some things that can really rob you of a gentle spirit. Frustration, for example, can really rob you of having that gentle spirit. When you're a frustrated person or you're going through times of frustration, you're frustrated because something is out of your control. I don't know about you, but I tend to be a control freak. I want to control things. I want things going my way. And if they don't go my way, I tend to get frustrated. I tend to lose my gentle spirit. Another thing that can rob us of gentleness, I believe, is failure. And failure is when you just don't measure up. You fall short of a plan. You fall short of an objective that you had in your life, and you fail. And then you can lose your gentleness because you fly off the handle. Another thing that can rob us of our gentleness, I believe, is fatigue. When you've not had enough rest, when there's too much stress in your life and you don't have a break, you know, God wired us in such a way that we need to rest. The Bible tells us that 6 days should we work, and on the seventh day, we should rest. And if we don't get that rest, we won't be gentle with others. We'll be running from fatigue, and we'll be infusing into them a spirit of harshness, not a spirit of kindness. Another thing that can rob us of gentleness is fear. Fear is uncertainty about our future. We're not sure what's going to happen, and we're confused about what's going to happen. And as a result of that, we're running from our future, and we're not running toward our future because we're running with fear. There's another thing that can rob us of gentleness, and that is feelings. You know, feelings can cause harshness in our lives. We can have the feeling that we refuse to forgive somebody, for example. And when we get to that point, that gentleness is gone. The Bible has a whole lot to say about gentleness. Gentleness is really strength under control. And now you think about controlling something. James uses the illustration of controlling an animal. I think about like a stallion. We put a bit and we put a bridle, and we can control that powerful 2,000-pound animal just with a bit and a bridle. And it's not that weak people need gentleness. It's that we're like that stallion, right? We're strong individuals, and it needs to be controlled. Weak people don't need to learn gentleness. It's strong people that need to learn gentleness. Gentleness toward God is to accept His judgment on people and issues. We are told in Galatians chapter 6, and I love this passage of scripture because it deals with this issue of gentleness. And so many people wrongly think that if I'm a gentle person, I'm going to be like this Casper Milk type of personality. When you think about what the Bible says about gentleness in Galatians 6, 1, it says, if anyone is caught up in a trespass, and some translations use the word sin, if anybody is caught up in a sin, the Bible tells us that those of us who are spiritually strong, those who are strong should restore that person in the spirit of weakness. So it doesn't mean that we're going to be soft on sin, but we're going to be soft in how we present ourselves in confronting that sin, considering ourselves also, lest we also get trapped into that sin that we are actually addressing. In James 1:21, it expounds on the gentle nature that we should have toward God. James says, therefore, put away all filthiness and all that rampant wickedness that runs in this world, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So there's some things I think that we look at when it comes to the benefits of gentleness, and I want to cover those briefly. Here's some benefits of having and learning to have a gentle spirit. Now remember, this fruit is given to us at the point of salvation. The seeds of gentleness are in you. The question is, are you developing that seed? And I want to encourage you to develop that seed. I have to intentionally work on being a gentle person because by nature, I am not a gentle person. By nature, I'm more of that type of person like the bull in the china closet. And maybe you're listening to me today and you say, man, I'm kind of that way myself. Well, I have some really good news for you. You can become a gentle person, and you will change to become a gentle person when you see the benefits of being a gentle person. So here's the first benefit. Number one, by being gentle, it will calm conflict. Solomon said this in Ecclesiastes 10:4. If a ruler's anger rises against you, you do not leave your post. Calmness can lay great offenses to rest. What is Solomon saying? When somebody comes against you, your boss comes against you, don't just quit. Don't just bail out. Don't say, well, I'm out of here. Just calmly do what you're supposed to do, and that calmness will actually put that offense to rest. You know, I've never regretted not losing my control. I've often regretted losing my temper. A hot-tempered person is a person who has a heart that is in conflict. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 15, 18, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient will calm a quarrel. Some people are looking for a reason to be angry, to stir up conflict. We are told in Proverbs 21:23 that we are to watch our words, we're to hold our tongue, and if by doing that, we'll be able to save ourselves from a lot of grief. When someone is angry and they're running off their mouth, it's so easy to get pulled into that, isn't it? Our first response might be an angry defense. The wise writer of Proverbs suggests a very different approach, and he says that a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up the anger. Oh, I want to encourage you today. That's from Proverbs 15:1. To be a person that's a little bit different in responding to conflict. The next time you're in an argument, try that. Try, instead of getting in the middle of that argument and trying to outshout that person, why don't you just have a calm response? Why don't you just take it and as an opportunity to show the gentleness of the Lord is at hand in your life. The next time you get in an argument, let that person finish venting and then simply respond slowly, softly, and confidently. I have a son with autism, as many of you know, and we watch a lot of great children's movies. One of my favorite is Shrek 2. And in Shrek 2, there is a major conflict. There's a major conflict taking place in this movie. The popular movie Shrek tells the story of a large green ogre named Shrek who falls in love with the Princess Fiona. They eventually get married, and they travel to the castle of Fiona's parents in order for Shrek to receive her father's blessing. The visit doesn't go well, and Shrek and Fiona start to fight. After disagreeing with Fiona's father, Shrek barges into Fiona's chambers and starts throwing their things together. As the newlyweds facing this first crisis and it unfolds, their voices get louder and louder and louder until they're shouting at each other. Shrek says, "I told you coming here was a bad idea." Fiona replies, "Well, you could have at least tried to get along with my father." Shrek says, "You know, somehow I don't think I was going to get along with your dad. I don't think I was going to get daddy's blessings, even if I did want it." Fiona responds, "Well, do you think it might be nice if somebody asked me what I wanted?" In a very sarcastic tone, Shrek responded, "Sure. Do you need me to pack for you?" "You're unbelievable," says Fiona. "You're behaving like a, well, go ahead and say it," Shrek says. "Like an ogre," Fiona shouts. Shrek yells, "Well, here's a newsflash for you. Whether your parents like it or not, I am an ogre. And guess what, princess? That's not about to change." Fiona pauses for just a moment and takes a deep breath. Then she composes herself. And as she composes herself, she says these words, "I've made changes for you, Shrek. Think about that." Then she quietly shuts the door behind her, leans up against it, and begins to cry. Shrek is cut to the heart. He walks to the door and hears her crying up against the side of the door, and he sighs. Oh, how a kind answer would have changed that outcome. Maybe you're listening to me today and you say, "I can't change." Don't buy into that lie. When we become followers of Christ, we are new creations. The old is done away with. I serve a God that wants to take your major weakness and actually turn it into a strength. I am a person that had a ferocious temper. For many years, my temper would get me in trouble, and my mouth would run faster than my mind, and I would say things that I would instantly regret, and my anger would flare up at the snap of a finger. I began to pray over that. I said, "Lord, would you allow my temper to be used for a powerful thing and a positive thing, not a negative thing? I want you to know that God has turned my life around when it comes to my temper, and he can do the same thing for you. If you're not a gentle person, he can make you a gentle person." That's the great thing about serving the Lord, is that he will change your life. Well, here's a second benefit of being a gentle person. It actually will quiet your critics. Just be patient. This will take time, okay, when you're being a gentle person. Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 13. It says, when you are slandered, by the way, you will be. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. We have become the scum of the earth. Paul looks at himself and says, I am the scum of the earth. He says, I'm the garbage of the world right up to this moment. And as we respond gently and patiently, our critics will be quieted. In Proverbs 18:2, it says, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Titus 2:8 says, use clean language. And this is the contemporary English version. Use clean language that no one can criticize. Do this and your enemies will be too ashamed to say anything against you. Paul said to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:24, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. Be able to teach. Be patient with difficult people. Titus is written to pastors and leaders within the church saying that you are not to quarrel, but you're to be gentle and you'll be kind to everyone. Well, here's a third benefit of being one who is gentle is it actually gives you the opportunity to build bridges. Too many times we want to build the wall and we should be building bridges with those that we're in conflict with, and a gentle spirit will help us to do that. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone, says Proverbs 25:15. The wise are known for their understanding, and pleasant words are very persuasive. So we can learn from these passages today that I'm never persuasive when I'm abrasive. Gentleness allows us to make a point without making an enemy. Nothing is so strong as gentleness, and nothing is so gentle as real strength. Gentleness will build bridges with those you are in conflict with. Here is the fourth benefit of being a gentle person, and that it reveals who I am. My true character will come out. One of my favorite books in the Bible is the book of Philippians. And just this morning, I received a text with this passage on it in the book of Philippians chapter 4. And as you look at Philippians chapter 4, we're to learn to let our gentleness be evident to all. Why? Because the Lord is near. We also learn that godly people run from evil, but they also persuade people to live a righteous life. Paul said to young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, Timothy, you're a young man of God. So run from evil things. That's what godly people do. Persuade others through righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and don't miss this last word, Paul says, and gentleness. Now imagine being able to watch the Apostle Paul in action. How did he treat people, especially those who often failed? We learn from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 that Paul gives us a glimpse into how he treated others. He says, we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her children. You see, gentleness is strong, having that strong hand with a soft touch. It is being tender. It is being compassionate as we approach others. It's not weakness. It is really strength under control. A gentle person speaks the truth, sometimes even the painful truth. But in doing so, he guards his tone so that the truth can be well received. Puritan preacher Jonathan Edwards called gentleness the Christian spirit. He says, all who are truly godly and are real disciples of Christ have a gentle spirit in them. Jesus himself was gentle with others, even those who came against him. In fact, in the Old Testament, it depicts the Messiah as unusually gentle, telling us that Jesus would not even break a bruised reed, or he wouldn't snuff out a smoldering wick. Matthew 11:29, Jesus says, I am gentle and I am humble in heart. We learn from 2 Corinthians 10:1, by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. As we are appealing to others, we should be appealing to them through gentleness. Here is the fifth benefit of being a gentle person. Gentleness communicates love. I love how Paul puts it in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. And you probably know this verse. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And all of you men who are listening to me who are married, here is a verse for you, Colossians 3:19, a verse that I remind myself of often. Husbands, love your wives and be gentle with them. You see, a great marriage is comprised of a strong husband, a strong wife, who are gentle with each other. And to add to that gentleness is forgiveness. Somebody once said, a great marriage is the union of two great forgivers. We also learned, dads, here's a challenge for us, given to us by Paul in Ephesians chapter 6. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them. As we learn from this passage, we are to be gentle with our children. That doesn't mean that we let them get away with things they ought not to get away with, but we don't lose their cool just because they're losing their cool. We remain gentle. In Matthew 12, we learn that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment. Now, this is kind of a scary verse. Every empty word that has spoken, we will give an account for the words that we spoke, and our words will either acquit us or our words are going to condemn us. Here's the sixth benefit of being a gentle person. It actually builds respect. A woman of gentle grace will be respected, says Proverbs 11:16. When you think about gentleness, number 7, it also wins over unbelievers. When they see the gentleness in our spirit, they must not slander anybody. This is a challenge that is given to us as believers. Paul, writing to Titus, he says, don't slander anybody. We should be gentle. We should show humility to everyone in Titus 3:2. We also learn in 1 Peter 3:15, and this is a powerful passage that I'm sure you're very familiar with in your hearts. Receive Christ as Lord. Okay, you became a follower of Christ. Now what? Now I must always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who accepts you, give an answer of that hope that lies within you. And how do we do this? We do it two ways, with gentleness and respect. Number 8, we can become gentle, and there's a benefit of being gentle is because, and this is probably the most important point, is that it actually makes us like Jesus. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. He says, yoke up with me, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You see, the man who is weak is sensitive, not so much about himself, but he's sensitive to what Christ is doing in him, and he's sensitive to those who are around him. He's not always watching out for himself and his own interests. He's always looking for somebody else to bless. He's not always on the defensive. All that is gone. The man who is truly meek never pities himself. He is never feeling sorry for himself. He never talks to himself and says, you're having a hard time. How unkind these people are to you, do not understand you. No, he never thinks on that level. He thinks, how wonderful I have this opportunity to be gentle to others. It's others' focus. Jesus first, others second, and putting himself last. The gentler you become, the gentler you will feel. And I want to encourage you today, as you're driving down the road or as you're listening to this broadcast online, that you will be a gentle person, that you will be intentional about praying about being gentle today. Thanks for listening. We'll wrap up our series on the fruit of the Spirit tomorrow. God bless you. Have an incredible day.
Hello, my friend. This is Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church. You know, through the years, several key devotionals have really helped me in my growth and helped me to be more like Christ. And one of those devotionals was by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And that devotional is called Morning and Evening with Charles Spurgeon. I would like to give you a copy of that devotional for the new year, and I'm just asking that you will read it every day for 365 days in 2020. Would you take this challenge? And if you will, all you need to do is just contact me. We have an email that is set up that you can send to me. It's hopeforyourheart@hrcc7.org. Let me give that to you again. Hope for your heart. It doesn't have to be uppercase or lowercase, doesn't matter. Hope for your heart, no spaces, at hrcc7.org. And the number 7.org. You send me an email, give me your address, and I will mail you a copy of this devotional. If you'd prefer to send us correspondence through the regular mail, you can send something to me at Hickory Ridge Community Church, 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South, Chesapeake, Virginia, 2-3-3-2-2. Or if you want to give us a call, you're welcome to call me at 757-421-7500. That is the church phone number. There'll be somebody there at the church Monday through Fridays, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. If it goes into the voicemail, I'll get that message, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. But you give me your name and your address, and I'll make sure that a copy of this devotional book, Charles Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, will be put in the mail. Now, if you prefer, you can stop by the church and pick it up. If you live close by to the church, you just let me know, and we'd love to give this gift to you. I also wanted to encourage you to come and worship. If you don't have a church home, we would love to have you join us. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock a.m. We have many ministries for you to be involved in. If you need help getting past some hurts, habits, and hang-ups, we have a tremendous ministry called Celebrate Recovery that meets every Sunday night at 6 o'clock p.m. I'd be happy to tell you about the Awana ministry that we have. I'd be happy to tell you about our Ridge Student ministry that we have. We have a dynamic children's ministry. We do nursery and preschool. We also have an academy that goes from 6 weeks old all the way up through the 11th grade. If you'd like more information about that, how you can have an affordable Christian education for your son or daughter, you reach out to me. I'll be happy to tell you everything about it. And if I don't know the answer for the situations with the school, my wife just happens to be the school administrator, and she'll fill you in.